Good morning. Welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church on this Labor Day celebration day. How about speaking to your neighbors across the aisle and next door to you and pass the peace of God to each of them? I know you're going to get to visit during the lunch, but please pass the peace. Now let us continue to prepare our hearts for worship as we sing our hymn of preparation, which you will find on the inside top of your bulletin. Several announcements that I would like to call to your attention. If you will notice on the bottom of the inside, there is a note about the Main Streeter News, our next activity. Just make a note there to bring sandwiches and a salad to share. Also notice the singles again lunch at the bottom of the page. Now, I would like you to look at your calendars and mark when the next circle meetings are. Note that they all begin this next week, everybody starting on Tuesday because of the Labor Day holiday. And I want to call your attention to the need for reservations for the Wednesday night gathering suppers. Really interesting programming that's happening in the children's Sunday school. So I want to call your attention to those activities and notice on the circles. But I also want to call to your attention a note that was in your newsletter. Now, if you don't have youngsters, you may not have paid much attention, but one of the neat things about our choir director is all of the things that he's offering for the young folks. And you might have noticed that he's opening things up for some activities on Sunday afternoons. And because of my own personal interest, I noticed that they're going to be looking at some dramatic readings. You realize that our friend Larry has quite a bit of experience with drama and theater. So I'm urging the teenagers to take a look, come and check them out, because I think you'll find they're going to be doing some really interesting things in the next semester. Now, if you will please prepare your hearts and minds to continue our worship service as the acolytes enter with the light of Christ.
Thank you. will all who are able please stand and join in this morning's call to worship. Tell the whole congregation of God's people, this is a day for new beginnings. Praise God in the assembly of the faithful. Make melody to God and sing a new song. This is the hour to wake from our sleep. The energy of God's love fills this place.
Let us join together in praying the prayer of invocation as printed in your bulletin. This is a festival day, glorious God, a day of remembering your faithfulness through the centuries, a time for celebrating your vibrant presence with us, a pause of anticipation for the seasons yet to be. We rejoice at the assurance that you're faithful and that we know by you. Called by you to live honorably and humbly in the Spirit of Christ. We exalt your name and sing for joy, knowing that we can trust you for the guidance and direction we need. Let us join together in the affirmation of faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Amen.
In today's Old Testament reading, God instructs Moses and Aaron in the preparation for the Passover of Yahweh and for its observance throughout all generations. This reading is from Exodus chapter 12, verses 1 through 14. Hear now a reading from God's Word. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark for you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year-old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of this month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord, for I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance." The epistle reading is from the 13th chapter of Paul's letter to the Romans, verses 8 through 14. Listen again for God's word to us. "Owe no one anything except to love one another, for the one who loves another has fulfilled the law. The commandments: you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and any other commandment are summed up in this word: love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling in drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that's what Methodists say, amen. Yeah. Preach on. Choir stirred our soul. I went to a seminar about a year ago, and it talked about church growth, and it said lively singing, and I said, amen, church is growing. That was great. In your bulletin is a litany for Labor Day. Today we come with a special acknowledgement for God's blessings to us, for our jobs, and with a prayer on our heart for those who need employment, that God will be with them to help them to find gainful employment. Let's respond together. Let us pray to the Lord of all creation, for whom comes life and work and purpose. Almighty God, when you formed us lovingly out of the dust of the earth, you breathed into us the breath of life and gave us work and purpose for living. Through our work, you made us co-creators with you, shaping the world in which we live. By our labor, you enrich the world. By our labor, we find direction and purpose.
By our labor, our families are made secure.
For providing varieties of work and for blessing us by our labor.
We give you thanks, O Lord.
For those who plow the field and those who make the plow. For farmers and farm workers. For steel workers and machinists. For those who work with their hands and those who move the earth. For those who tend the sick and those who seek new cures, for doctors and nurses, for scientists and technicians, for those who keep notes and those who transcribe,
we give you thanks, O Lord.
For those who think and those who create, for inventors and explorers, for artists and musicians, for those who write books and those who entertain, for those who work in offices and those who work in warehouses, for secretaries and receptionists, for stockers and bookkeepers, for those who make produce and those who move them, for those who inspire our minds and those who motivate us, for teachers and preachers, for public servants and religious servants, those who help the poor, and those who work with our children. For children whose play is a work of learning to live in the world. For those who seek work but have not found it. For those whose work is not yet what it may be, but who still seek, that their gifts may be more fully shared. For those whose labor is tidiness and cleanliness, for custodians and sanitation workers, for dry cleaners and maids, for those who produce cleaning products and those who use them. For those who sail the waves and those who fly the skies, for captains and attendants, for astronauts and deep sea divers, for those who chart and for those who navigate.
We give you thanks, O Lord.
For those whose work is unpaid, who offer what they can to enrich the lives of others through time, talent, skill, strength, and love.
We give you thanks, O Lord.
You bless us all with skills and gifts for labor. Guard and protect those who labor in the world.
Bless us the work of our hands, O Lord.
Look kindly upon the unemployed and the disabled. Keep us from laboring only for greed. Creator Lord, you are the source of all wisdom and purpose. You are the blessing of those who labor. Be with us in our labor to guide and govern our world. Give all men and women work that enhances human dignity and bonds us to one another. Give us pride in our work, a fair return for our labor, and joy in knowing that our work finds its source in you, through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let us prepare now to go to prayer, and you see in the bulletin those names who are listed who stand in special need for prayer concerns. And we do pray for the family of Eric and Elizabeth Gentry and the death of Eric's grandfather. Let us be in an attitude of prayer. Holy God, on this day, as we fellowship together in lightheartedness, as we prepare to enjoy a fellowship meal together, as some are journeying maybe on their last vacation before we enter into the fall season and into all the excitement that this season brings to us, we humbly pause this day again, Almighty God, to acknowledge the privilege that we have to work and to labor. We thank you, dear God, for the ability to provide for our families and for our own needs, and to reach out to those who are naked and hungry, and to share with them from the labors with which we have gained. We thank you, dear God, for the privilege to share the good news of Jesus Christ with those we come in contact with and bear witness that which we believe is true and lasting, that it has endured and will continue to endure through the ages. Holy God, we pause this day to give you thanks again for our country, for the privilege to labor here, and for other places in the world where people are privileged to work. We pray, dear God, that all the works of our hands will be to enhance the well-being of men and women and boys and girls everywhere. Holy God, as we pause this day, we also acknowledge that there are those who have special needs, those who are sick in their bodies, those who are serving in hostile environments. Dear God, we pray for them. We pray, O God, for your protecting hand. We anticipate and hunger for the day when swords will be beaten into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks, where we will sit down beside each other and study peace and not war. But until that day, O God, may we all be found diligent to stand in the gap and to make up the hedge. Help us, O God, to share the good news of what Christ means to us as we come in contact with individuals throughout life's journey. And again, we pray for our church, that you would help us all to be of one mind and one accord, that each one of us would know the mission and the task with which we have committed ourselves to, and that we all would put our shoulders to the plow and put our hands to work so that we could achieve that which you would have for us here at Main Street United Methodist Church to achieve, not individually, but collectively, working together as one. Thank you for the history that we have had here, and thank you, dear God, for the future that will be ours in Christ Jesus. Again, we pray for leaders leaders of the church, leaders of our country, leaders within our city, those who protect us during the day and during the night. And we pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, let us worship the Lord now with our morning tithing offering. Sisters, would you come, please?
My Father's word.
Holy God, on this day especially, are we remindful of our employment. And realize that the labors that we enjoy are indeed a gift from you, and that all that we have is yours. Now we return to you a portion of that which we have received. Hear now, dear God, we dedicate this offering for the furtherance of the gospel of Christ. And thank you again for each participant. And whether they chose to give today or not, we thank you for their life, for their blessings as a part of Main Street and the kingdom of God. Use our lives, Almighty God, and use this offering to your glory. Amen.
Please be seated. It's time for the children's message, and as they come forward, I'll remind them to bring their change. So far, the children have collected $113 on their way to $150 for the purchase of a llama from Heifer Project International.
Can you hear me?
Okay, good. Okay, I tell you what, I don't even know if I can sit down or not. I'm not sure, but I am so excited. Y'all get your money in there, then I'm going to tell you why I'm so excited, okay?
Kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya.
That's one reason.
This is my father's.
I finally understood. I didn't understand the first part of it when you got that. The music was fantastic. I am so excited. And then we're eating today. Are y'all looking forward to eating? We're going to eat. We're going to have lunch. We're going to... A lot of food back there. I'm not sure I can get up sitting down here. Susan, you may have to help me. But I'm excited. This is a great day. And my goodness, we had a Sunday school party last night, and we sat there, and we ate last night, too. So this is an eating weekend. Watch football. Mr. Ballantyne's got a smile on his face today, so everything's good in Tiger Town. And the game, this is just exciting. This is exciting. But I tell you one thing that I know you're excited about. But you tell me, what are some things that you're excited about? And some... Labor Day. Why are you excited about Labor Day?
It's a holiday and we don't have to go to school.
All right, I figured that was going to come. It's a holiday and we don't have to come to school. That's good. So, sir? Okay, good. You too? All right. I tell you what, we're all excited. This is an exciting bunch. Are y'all excited out there? Okay, everybody's excited. But I think there's something that I know you're even more excited about. I've been reading about our new Sunday school plans for our church. And I've been reading about, you know, y'all had a meeting last week and there were so many of... You didn't. Well, somebody did. They talked about you. They talked about you, okay? But there was a meeting, and we've got some new plans for Sunday school here at Main Street. And I think that is fantastic. We've got the adults being involved, and we've got the children being involved. And I know that's going to be exciting to you. So I hope you'll support the Sunday school. A lot of people have spent a lot of time making these plans, so I hope you'll come, you'll support it. Bring Mom and Daddy with you. They need to be in Sunday school also. So bring them with you too. But we're excited about that. Now, one thing I want to share with you, because you're going to learn a lot of new and good things when you come to Sunday school. Do any of y'all, can y'all tell me your favorite story in the Bible? Can somebody tell me a favorite story? Okay, that's okay. Anybody? Yes, ma'am.
Ruth.
All right, Ruth, your people should be my people. I like Ruth, too.
Jonah and the big fish.
Okay, the whale. That's exactly right. Somebody else.
You can play.
All right, you can play. That's good. You're absolutely right. That's good. I want to share with you one verse of Scripture. And y'all will probably be talking about this in Sunday school. It says, for God so loved the world. Okay, good. For God so loved the world that he sent Jesus. Now, one thing I want you to do for me as we close today. Try saying it this way. For God so loved, and every one of you, I want you to say your name. For God so loved, and then you say your name, that he sent his son Jesus. Will you do that with me? All right, let's do it on three. One, two, three. For God so loved Shell.
Kaylee.
Madeline.
Okay, exactly. And that, you know, that's a great promise that we have. And that's just one of the many things that we'll talk about in Sunday school. You didn't? Okay, you want to say it? Y'all bow your heads and let's have a short prayer. Just get excited about coming to Sunday school. We get excited about a lot of things. Get excited. God, thank you for all your love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. Thank you. Amen. Amen. That's good.
The gospel lesson this morning is found in the gospel according to Matthew. Begin reading with the 15th verse of the 18th chapter. Hear now the reading of God's word. If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you, so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there among them. The word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. If there's ever a topic that is dear to my heart, is this one on peacemaking and having understanding among people and to work together, especially since I'm a PK, a preacher's kid. It used to always distress me when I would walk through the church and I would think about where certain individuals used to sit. And I would ask myself the question, and where are they now? When I was in high school, a teacher gave to us an assignment and had several topics, and we had to write a paper, and the paper was to be about 2 pages. And it was to speak about a variety of things, and one of them was how to make good grades in school. Would you believe that that was the most popular topic that the kids in school wrote about? The teacher stood in front of the class and she read one paper after another. And she said, what amazes me is that the individuals that I am reading this paper that they wrote are not the ones making good grades, but they know how to do it. All the ideas about studying when you get home and all the applications that you make about doing your homework and participating and get good rest at night. She said, so if you know how to do good work and to make good grades, she said, why aren't you doing it? As I read through this section, there are places where we have given topics to, as you know in Scripture, the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and other things. And this section here is called the Sermon on the Church. And as I think about Jesus and his disciples and the church during this day, church hadn't grown very much. It was still almost an embryo. And Jesus is talking to them about the church. And so as I think about this, then the reality might be that Jesus is talking to his disciples. Have you ever been in a club and there's been a disagreement in the club? Have you ever been in a church and there's been a disagreement in the church? So Jesus is probably talking to the disciples here because the speculations could be that there has been a disagreement among the disciples. And Jesus is speaking to them about how to get along, how to work things out. It's already been mentioned by Shell that we're going to have a meal after church. What he didn't tell you was that one of the things that he is aggressively pursuing are those deviled eggs.
Yes, sir. Make sure
there's some left. See, he bearing witness with me already. But we know that there is a time for us to come together and to be in fellowship with each other. And the reality is that the church is built on relationships. The church is built on us working together and getting along and learning how to work out our differences. I will never forget Mr. Sanders when I was first pastoring at Orville United Methodist Church, and he said, "You can disagree without being disagreeable." He was my lay leader. And those words have stuck in my mind through the years. You can disagree. And many times in sharing with young converts and new members in the church, and I will look at them and I will say, there's one thing that you understand about the United Methodist Church is that you don't have to agree with me as a pastor on everything. I have heard ministers tell certain parishioners in their congregation that if you don't agree with me, well, there's a church down the road that probably would agree with you. Can you believe that someone would say that? There's a church over here that probably would agree with the way that you're thinking. Why don't you go over there and join them? When the reality is that we are a community of individuals that are going to have our varied opinions, our varied ideas about the way that things should be accomplished. Have you ever heard a student say when they made a bad grade in school, it's the teacher's fault? I hear a rumbling. That teacher doesn't like me. I used to tell my children, there are kids that sit in the class with you, they have the same book, the same teacher, and they're making great grades. What's wrong? When I think about those individuals who made good grades, sometimes people would say, oh, he or she is the teacher's pet. It's easy to be the pet of someone when they do their work, right? When they come to school prepared. How many times have we heard individuals say about the church, it's the conference's fault? It's the preacher's fault. It's the Sunday school teacher's fault. When in reality, we need to be working together to improve our church, and to improve, as was mentioned this morning in our children's time, the new program that we're working toward to have a better Sunday school program for all our children. And it's crucial that parents bring their children to Sunday school. If we don't have children in Sunday school, then you don't have a class. So parents have to be responsible, to be diligent, and to be faithful, to work together. Jesus is speaking to us in this passage of Scripture about ways to get along, ways to solve problems. I have a fantasy. It started from my grandmother, who told me this story about a lady that was working at an orphanage. And there was not very many children there at this orphanage, and the lady was praying about it, and she said, "I think I'm going to leave and go somewhere else." And she felt like God was speaking to her heart to stay at this orphanage. And she said, "Well, God, if you'll just help me to understand why you want me to stay." And said, about that time, a little boy come running around the building, and it seemed as though her spirit said, "It's for that little boy." And today, that little boy is an evangelist on the mission field of our Lord. She stayed for that one little boy who has reached thousands for the cause of the kingdom of God. My fantasy is, what if we had one little child that came into this church and followed you? Followed you during the day, and followed you at work, and followed you as you attended church, and followed you in the tasks that you did. What type of individual will this child grow up to be? Would he grow up to be a mature disciple of Christ? Would he grow up with someone that had the values of the Christian faith? Because if there's a clear edict that Christ speaks to us, he speaks to us about these little ones, about us as we reach out to those around us and share with them the cause of the kingdom of God. This child sees you in your good moments and sees you in your bad moments. Will that child grow up to be the church and a faithful member in the church? Or what type of church would this church be if that child followed you? And Christ tells us, says, if someone doesn't agree with you after you go to them and try to resolve the issue, then take someone else with you. And then if they won't hear you, treat them as a tax collector and as a sinner, a Gentile. And as I thought on that passage of Scripture, how did Jesus treat tax collectors and Gentiles? Some of his closest associates, tax collectors and Gentiles. Those that he reached out to, and you remember the story of Zacchaeus, and Christ reaches out to him. The woman at the well and others, as Christ reached out to them. So when we think about how we treat these individuals, Christ calls for us to be in relationship. The church, brothers and sisters, is an institution of relationships. Us together with Christ in the world, reaching out to others. What type of church do you want? Then that's the type of church you're going to have. a church that loves each other and cares for each other starts with you. You cannot have a church if you do not have relationships. In the book, Love is Eternal, a story was told about Mary Todd as she was lying on the bed weeping after President Lincoln had been shot. She called in the security person, the bodyguard, and she said, "You were supposed to protect him. What were you doing?" He said, "I never thought anybody would ever try to kill somebody so loving and forgiving as President Lincoln." He said, "I just wasn't paying close enough attention. I did not see the assassin. I didn't see him when he entered where we were." And she said, "I forgive you. Because that's what Abe would have done. He would have forgiven you." And little son that was sitting there said, "Yeah. And Abe would have forgiven the assassin because that was just his way. He forgave everybody." Jesus has forgiven us of all of our sins. There's not a one that He holds to our charge. They have been placed in the sea, as one of my professors said, of God's forgetfulness, and put up a sign that says, "No fishing here." Let us too be in relationship and practice that which our Savior has issued to us. Let us be forgiving those who have injured you. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 569, "We've a Story to Tell to the Nation."
Thank you.
benediction is a written benediction in your bulletin, a responsive benediction. Sisters and brothers, whom will you see this week? What will they need? Will you dare to see their need and love them with the love of Christ? In Christ's name, go and be good news.